Welcome to church this morning. You know, it's kind of been one of those neat times in the life of the church. We've been talking about this idea that you can connect with heaven, that you can connect with God Almighty, that you should be walking with Him, talking with Him. And last week, Kirtland had a really neat message where he challenged us to connect with one another. This principle that God can use the most unlikely source to speak to you, even using you. Wow. Again, I would challenge you all, if you didn't hear it or if you're joining us online and you didn't join us last week, then go back and listen to Kirtland's message. It was really neat. This idea that God can use the messes, right? And that's biblical. Like, He gave us a couple of examples of that. Think about Peter. Peter was one of those guys who was always ready for the fight. He was the one who pulled his sword and cut off an ear before anything was supposed to have happened. And Jesus was like, calm down, dude, right? He's the guy who denied Christ three times. And yet God chose him to be the man that would lead the church. Upon you, Peter, we will build the church. Think about that. He was a mess. Like, I would have loved to have been there when some of the educated few that started to come to Jesus, and Peter was the one teaching them, and they'd be like, really? You got a hillbilly teaching us. Yes, because God is choosing to use the most unlikely. I love it. Right? Kirtland used Jonah, right? An evangelist who hated his audience. Like, how is that even possible? Go tell them they need me and the town will be saved. And Jonah said, no, I don't like them, right? And you guys know the story. A few days in the belly of a fish changed everything for him. But he went still begrudgingly. Like, read the story. Jonah was not a nice guy at all, right? But God wanted to use him. I was thinking of Paul, the man who was killing the early Christians, who eventually would be encouraging the early Christians. How insane is that? Like, one of my favorite examples is David. You know, an adulterer, a murderer, and yet he was called a man after God's own heart. Here is the real deal. God wants to speak to you. Are you listening? And sometimes He'll use the most unlikely sources. Sometimes even you. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, He shared this verse. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. God designed you for community, and church is that vision. And so, you know, instead of fighting with brothers and sisters, why don't we listen with brothers and sisters? Instead of arguing about things that don't matter, why don't we start having a dialogue about things of eternity? And again, knowing that He longs to speak to you through unlikely sources, but also even waiting to use you. So here's the good news. You need me. Woo! Yeah, some of you are going, oh, dear Lord, it's been too long, right? But the truth is, I need you too, that we are better together. And so this whole last few months, we've been talking about how can you connect to God Almighty? How can you connect with heaven? And Kirtland brought it down to say, we should be connecting with one another. We should be connecting with family. And today I want to finish this series by talking about how we need to connect to the lost. You guys know that I'm an evangelist at heart. There's so many times I get involved in conversations and I never start them. It's just, it's divine appointment where God all of a sudden brings us to a conversation that leads into things of eternity. And that's one of the things that just happens to me. Now, I know that that doesn't happen with everybody, but I want to ask you a few questions this morning as we start off. When was the last time you brought joy to someone? When was the last time you brought hope to someone? Has that happened lately? Because those are two things that you're designed to do. It was interesting. I was talking to a friend, Shirley, this week. She lives out west, and she has a grief share ministry and all those sorts of things. And she checked in with me knowing that it was a year anniversary of our mass shootings, and she wanted to ask how the church was doing and wanted to know if there's anything that we could pray for. And she shared this principle with me over this last year about being a hope hero. And she has her own story. She lost her son in a tragic accident, and they grieved the loss of him. And she said, Andrew, she said, God taught me so much in that grief. And one of the things that she really is pushing right now, and I love it, is she's teaching people how to be hope heroes. And by that, she means this, that when there is someone who is lost, there is someone who is grieving, there is someone who is a mess, you know what? We can lend them hope. And it's by the simple things that we do. It's by having a listening ear. It's by giving them a word of encouragement. It's by sending them a little note. And she says, oh, the joy of bringing hope. And I'm going, yeah. When was the last time you were an encouragement to someone else? When was the last time you were able to share truth with someone? When was the last time you were able to give grace or mercy? And again, I'm not just talking about those in the church, which we should be doing, and not just talking about those in our family, which we should be doing daily. But I'm talking about the lost, those who are still blind, those who are still in their sin, those who are still in the mess. A great example of that this last week, it was kind of amazing. And I thank you guys, and I celebrate this all the time. But there's days when we do cut days. If you're listening online, what are we doing? We have wood that's donated all year long from different sources, different mills, the town, the municipality. When they clear trees, they drop off trees at our cut spot. And so every once in a while, when we have a Saturday that's free, I'll say, anybody who wants to join me, let's go cut some wood. And we'll give a couple hours, and we split some wood. Sometimes we chunk it up. We put it into bins, and then all year long, we get calls as a church. And we go, and we deliver wood to people who are going to be cold, right? Well, this past week, we had a chance to go lend some helping heat again, and you'd say, well, how much help do you need heating? It's almost summer. Well, we went to a place where a gentleman was living in a cabin at the end of an old logging road, right? There wasn't even a driveway. we had to really watch where you were driving to get in there because there was some rocks. It was an old path. And we got there. He has no electricity or running water in his cabin. And so he heats any food that he might eat on a wood stove all year long. And we saw where he had drug out this little piece of wood, this little log, and it was half rotten, and he had been sawing pieces off of it with a handsaw so that he could put some wood on in the evening to kind of take the chill off of the cabin, and my heart was broken. And he came out, and again, it would be everything that you would expect. He was thin, and he seemed to be a little emaciated, and he was dirty. And he looked at me, and he said, what are you guys doing here? And I'm like, hey, I come bearing gifts. It's like, you know what, sir? I said, we heard about you from a niece. And I shared the name, and he said, oh, she's a good girl, she's a good girl. And I said, you know what? I said, I was sad to hear that you're back here and you don't have any electricity and sometimes you are heating your food and you're keeping warm. And I said, I wonder if you could use some wood. And he said, you got to be kidding me, brother. And I said, no. I said, we were wondering if we could bless you today. And he said, praise God, praise God, praise God. And he hugged me. He didn't care about COVID. I didn't care about COVID. We almost were crying together. And I said, where can we put your wood, sir? And he said, you put it over there and I'll pile it later. And I was like, okay. The joy that we brought to a gentleman. And you know what the invitation was? He looked at me and he said, Andrew, he said, I am so glad. I feel so blessed today. He said, you know what? I don't go to church. And I said, I didn't ask. And he said, can I invite you back here? And I said, well, that's what I need. I need permission to be on your property. I said, would you mind if we come back and check? He said, Andrew, you guys can come back anytime you want. You are welcome here. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And we brought him hope. hope on your behalf. And it was such an awesome privilege. And I was sitting there driving away, thanking God, saying, here's a man who was not even thinking about God that day necessarily. But by the time we were leaving, he was praising an almighty God. And with tears in my eyes as we're driving back this way, I was going, Lord, we were all a part of that. Like, that is so amazing. Thank you for the donations. Thank you for the use of sauce and time and gas and everybody who has picked a stick or even prayed about it. Lord, we're changing the world. It was beautiful. What an awesome privilege. And I was thinking, you know, isn't that the principle of God? Isn't that the life that Jesus lived, that he would love those who needed love, that he would touch those who others didn't want to touch? And I was going, yes, he brought hope. You know, last week, some of you heard Kirtland preach, and again, we're so proud of him and we love him. The reason why he was preaching, I was downstairs doing junior church. And I love doing junior church, too. It's kind of one of those things I like. I came and hung out with the kids just for a little bit at the campfire until I started to get cold. I was going, oh, you're getting old. And I didn't want to crowsy right up to the fire. So anyway, I went home and put on a fire so that it would be warm enough for my old bones when I got home. But I like hanging out with our young people. And so last week, I was doing junior church. And we were sketching and we were drawing and we were talking about the blessings of God. And I really had this story in my head. Now, I didn't share it with them, but I wanted to share it with you this week. It's found in Luke 19, starting to read at verse 1. And most of you will know this story very well. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and he welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and they began to mutter, he is gone to be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, I love these stories, and sometimes we think of them as the felt board children's church kind of stories, don't we? I don't. I love it. I love looking at the eyes at the world through the eyes of a child because there's so much excitement there. And these stories have so many lessons for us. And who are our big players in the story today? We get to know Zacchaeus. We know that he was a tax collector. Even more than that, he was the chief tax collector. What did that mean? That mean that he had men underneath him who would go around to the parenting regions and they would collect tax on his behalf, right? So again, a tax collector. How many of you love paying taxes? Woo! Praise the Lord. No. Right? Now, we do love the roads and you know, the potholes that they provide, right? We do enjoy our health care and some of those things. What's funny is you guys, if you have friends from around the world who sometimes may come and join you, I find this most of my American friends because I think they're just the loudest friends that I have, and I love them and praise the Lord for our neighbors to the south. But they'll come and to visit, and they'll say, Andrew, you guys pay tax on everything. And I'm going, yeah, we do, right? And they're like, how do you do that? Like, things that are a dollar end up being $1.30. I can't keep track. And you know, I'm going, well, that's the way it works here in Canada. And they're saying, that's a terrible system. You should get more guns. And I don't necessarily disagree with some of the points that they make, like when it comes down to live in tax and all those sorts of things. But we don't like paying taxes. What's worse is when we feel like we're being robbed. And we can relate to that. Some of the taxes that they collect, it's not very clear where it goes because our government doesn't have a lot of accountability. That's one thing that I wish would change in our country. That there'd be more transparency, that if there's health issues that they're going to deal with around the world, I wish that they would deal with the health issues that we have right here in our own country, right? And so some of those things frustrate me, but we don't like taxes, especially when we feel like we're being robbed. Well, that was Zacchaeus' trade. He worked with the backing of the Roman government. And so what's interesting, think about his day. Everybody who saw Zacchaeus put on a big smile. Hi, Zacchaeus, how are you today? And then he was gone. Oh, Lord, just kill him now. Right? Like, he wasn't liked. Everybody had a fake smile. Why? Because you don't pick a fight with the guy who has the power of the Roman government, and he's the one setting your bill. You want to be nice with him, hoping that he won't rob as much as he did last week from you, right? And so he lived this fake life, right? He lived this falsehood, and he was greedy because we find out right away that he was very wealthy. Again, this crime that he was committing had lined his pockets. And I was thinking of that story this week. It's found in Luke 18 when Jesus was telling the parable about the two fellers who came to pray. Remember that? There was one guy having a moment, right? And he's on his face and he's crying out to God to forgive him, right? And he happened to be a tax collector. We know that because the other guy was a religious leader and he was really, really high on himself. And remember, he was very loud and he went into the synagogue and he's like, "Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not like all these other losers," right? Especially, and he points the guy out, like, "The tax collector." I'm going, man, he's having a moment. Why wouldn't you just let him be? But it goes to show us that this profession that Zacchaeus had, it was held in disdain. That people, his own people, looked down upon him. That he wasn't liked at all. But what's interesting is we find out that he was excited to find out who Jesus was. So what does that tell us? Everything we've learned so far, he's greedy, he steals, he's bad, he's not liked, but he's seeking. He's seeking. He hears that Jesus is coming by his way, and that's how we find out that he's actually short in stature, right? He wanted to see Jesus so bad, and the crowd wouldn't get him in, and again, they would probably say, "You know what, I'm going to block him, because he charged me too much last month." And so people were being probably mean to him, deservedly so, but he humbles himself and he climbs up a sycamore tree so that he doesn't miss Jesus. That's how interested he is. He's seeking. He's excited. He's longing to find something different. And here comes Jesus. We learn that he's passing through Jericho. But we learn that a crowd is following him, which was very common in Jesus' ministry time. And he's aware, this is kind of interesting, he's aware of who Zacchaeus is, even though it's clear that they haven't met. They're strangers, right? Zacchaeus didn't know him. He wanted to see him. It was likely the first time. That's why he didn't want to miss it. He's climbing a tree. He's doing all he can. And here comes Jesus, who is a stranger to him, but we see some of Christ's divinity. He stops right underneath the tree that Zacchaeus is up, and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, what are you doing today?" He knows me. "Woo! I'm doing whatever you want to do." He says, "I'm coming to your house today. Is that okay?" And Zacchaeus scrambles down and says, "Wow, yes, that's amazing. He's coming to my house today." And who was muttering? The crowd. I'm always fascinated by the crowd because the crowd is excited about Jesus too, aren't they? In fact, they've changed their day's plans. They're following this itinerant preacher. They're following this prophet. They're following this guy because they like him and they like his teachings. But here's the problem. As soon as Jesus points out one, we see how the mob can turn. They start to mutter. The crowd is in the way. And what do they say? They say, "Oh, how can he go hang out with a sinner?" And I'm going, wow. It's amazing to me how many times the crowd can get in the way and the crowd is the one that's muttering. But they're the ones who are supposed to be following Jesus. How come they ain't listening to his teaching? Like, there's a lot of churches like that. I really am thankful for the freedom that you guys have given me over the last 17 years to love on the community at times and not to be jealous of that. Because that's what Jesus did. And I know that hasn't always been easy, right? When I first came, you guys thought I was a freak. Some of you still do. But you let me love the community because that's a biblical principle. And here's the beautiful thing of it. Some of you, most of you have learned the joy of loving the community and coming with me on that ride. I have visited so many churches. They asked me to come and they asked me to speak. Why? Because you guys are doing something that they are missing. And when I get there, I see visions of the crowd that mutters and gets in the way. "Well, Pastor, I thought you should come to my house for tea. Instead, you were hanging out with that drunk." Guilty.
Well, Pastor, it's nice that you're providing wood for everybody. I wouldn't mind if you provided wood for me, but then you're taking it out to that guy who, you know what? He doesn't have nothing together. You're guilty. Nothing better I wanted to do that day than to love on that man. And I'll do it again next week. You see, that's what Jesus taught. That's what Jesus did. And I want to say thank you that you guys are a part of all of those incredible moments of evangelism. That you guys are a part of loving your community and making a difference. Because here's the deal. It's not just the day that we're changing. Do you know that we're changing eternity? We're changing eternity. That we've been teaching you guys how to connect with heaven, how to connect with God Almighty, how to walk and to talk with Him. And last week, again, Kirtland said we need to connect with one another, right? That we're to encourage one another, we're to lift one another up. And again, you think of all of those calls in Matthew 5 when Jesus is talking about the church. You're called to be the salt, to add flavor to one another, to add flavor to the community. You're called to be the light, to be an encouragement to one another, but to be an encouragement to the community. And all of these blessings are standing there if we would only take time like Jesus did to seek the lost. You've already got heaven. Nothing on heaven and earth can take it from you. But you can share it. Oh, what a joy that is found. When was the last time you brought hope? When was the last time you shared joy? And you know, we should be doing that with our family, absolutely. You know, I want people in our community to see your families and get a glimpse inside your window and say, I don't know what they're doing, but are they ever doing it right? Woo! I don't know if it's going to church makes us get along like that. Let's try that church, right? I want them to have a vision of what could be as they look into the light and they have a taste of the salt. Now, that's why we have people who sometimes will come and they'll call up and they'll say, Andrew, are you doing anything? And I'm going, no. What do you need? I need a coffee. Okay. They don't really need a coffee. What they need is my ear. And then once they've had my ear, usually they want my advice. And they say, you know what? Man, your home is a place of peace. I'm going, uh-huh. And they're going, I came away to have coffee with you today so I could get away from there. And I'm going, oh, wow, you're doing it wrong. That's what they're talking about. You see, this story tells us that people are interested. Right here in our community, you know that there are people who want to hear what you have to say. And the reason why is because they've seen the difference that you live. So people are truly interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me. Now, sometimes we don't buy that because our culture seems very, very sensitive, right? To the point where they want to cancel the things that make them uncomfortable. It's still okay. Hard conversations are still necessary. Marty and I were talking about that today. Like, our world has gotten a little bit soft, and I'm okay with you offending some people. Jesus even said, guess what? They're going to hate you, but take heart, they hated me first. You see, the gospel may be offensive, and it's still truth. The gospel may be offensive to some, but it's still the way. The gospel may be hard for some to hear, but it works. And for the most part, even as an evangelist, I know that people are interested. They're seeking, just like Zacchaeus, that they'll do things to get together with you. They'll make plans to get together with you. They'll keep appointments only if we would be interested, because they sure are. It's amazing to me. Zacchaeus had never met Jesus yet. He was fascinated by this man. He was fascinated by the stories. He was fascinated about what he had heard. He was interested. Do you know that you have friends right now that you've put off talking to about eternity and they're interested, but you're the one delaying the conversation? Well, I don't want to offend, Pastor. Let me lay hands on you. No, I don't promote violence. But I would say shake you and say, why aren't you having that conversation with your neighbor? Well, God keeps prompting me, but you're not listening. They're interested. Another thing I take from this story is that we need to take the time for the one. Jesus had a whole crowd following him. What did he do? He points out Zacchaeus. Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Think of the joy of that, that all of a sudden, if we would notice the one. But the problem is so often we are focused on the crowd. And that's kind of interesting because the pandemic has changed everything, hasn't it? Like as a church, we're pretty active in the church. We're having kitchen parties. We're having breakfast. We're doing all those sorts of things. And now we haven't been able to get together. Like one of our first breakfasts coming up, as long as plans don't change, is going to be the Lobster Bash. We're going to try to do a fisherman's breakfast. We're going to set our tables out. We're going to only have one family at a table. When they're full, we're putting it on pause, right? You're going to sanitize before you go get your food. Whenever you're done, you're going to leave. Before we bring somebody in, we're going to spray nine the table and disinfect it. And right now, it looks like we're going to be able to do that. And we're going, oh, it feels so good. Bring the crowd back. I love being a part of the events. I'm missing that. That's fair. You may be missing the crowd right now, but sometimes the crowd gets so ingrained in our focus that we forget to notice the one. Right now, people are hungry. Right now, people are hoping that you would take the time to hear them, to listen to them, to talk with them about their fears. Right now, you could notice the one. And let me tell you, when you start to notice the one, it changes the way you live. Look at the one-on-one encounters that Jesus had all by design because he understood the principle that the crowd is awesome, but the one is so valuable. The one is so important. Who is the one in your life right now? You say, well, Pastor, I haven't got time for that. That makes me sad. Because what are you spending your time on? The reality is this. What are you taking to heaven? Nothing but the people that you point to the way. Because everything else you're going to leave behind. The one is vital. And you'd say, well, again, I don't have time for that. Do you know that the harvest comes in many different ways? That's another thing you learn from this story. Like there were the days when you'd say, oh, that's not my job, Pastor. That was Billy Graham. Billy Graham would fill stadiums with the crowd, and he could pick people out of the crowd. And you know what? He was the one who was called to save. No, that wasn't even his job. He would tell you that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He was just being faithful. What I'm trying to tell you is Billy Graham has gone to be with Jesus. And there are people right now in your life waiting to hear truth, seeking it, wanting it. But you've got it in your mind that you ain't got time for all that. Oh, Andrew, I haven't got time to start this relationship. Oh, I've got so many people already. Okay. I'm investing right now in work. All good. I'm loving on my family. And again, all of those things are fantastic. But the problem is that sometimes good things become the enemy of the best thing. And whenever you check out in life, you take nothing with you. Like Kirtland has seen horrifying stories already, and I prepared him for them all. I said, you know what? We're going to do a funeral today. And I said, for the next month, we're going to deal with the insanity of everybody fighting over what's left. And he says, no. I said, oh, yeah. He says, okay. So then we go to funerals. We're family members. We got to go pray here, and then we got to go pray over in that room. Well, why is there two rooms? Because they don't like each other. But they're family. Yeah, they're fighting. And when you're dead and gone, and things are finally sorted out, it'll take the kids 6 months to squander what you left them, and they will be ungrateful. Trust me, I see it every day. It's kind of real to me. I had a dream about my dad last night. Which was really weird. He's been gone 4 years, but had a dream about him. And you know what I felt when I woke up? I just miss him. He left me nothing. I got an old shotgun that sometimes I go for a walk with in the bush just because I want to feel close to him. He left me nothing. But he gave me everything. You see, the harvest comes in many different ways. And you'd say, Andrew, I don't have time for evangelism. That's why we pay you. And I go, you are called to be ministers of the gospel simply by living your life. Do you know that? And you know what? Get this preconceived idea of how it has to work. Oh, I got to take time, and then we'll have to go get coffee. And Lord, I really don't have time for that. And then they're going to tell me all their problems. I don't want to hear their problems. I've got enough problems of my own. And then they want to be my friend. And then, Lord, I have enough friends, and I barely have time to see those friends that I have. And before you know it, then all of a sudden they get saved. Oh, Lord, then the real work begins. I just don't want that. And I'm going, are you kidding me? What is your purpose? And here's the truth. There's so many times that the harvest is ready. All you got to do is pick it. Why? Because God doesn't need you that badly. He will accomplish his work with or without you. So this may surprise you, but God is kind of well known. What? Sometimes he's dealing with that individual and has been dealing with that individual for years before you were ever brought into this thing, and he's waiting for somebody to just pick and heaven to gain. But because you got this preconceived idea of how much work the harvest is going to be, you say, oh, Lord, I'll maybe tomorrow when the day of salvation was today. Wow. And then we let fear hold us back, right? I'm glad Jesus didn't do that in this story, but fear sometimes holds us back. In fact, the fear kind of came through the crowd. He's hanging out with a sinner? Oh, just. Ah. Yeah, he's hanging out with a sinner. In fact, he came to be friends with the sinners, right? You say, well, oh, Lord, you know what? I may offend. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Oh, what if they ask a question that I can't answer? And we start to talk ourselves out of it, and fear all of a sudden starts to come into the game plan. And before we know it, we're paralyzed, and we're not letting our light shine, and we're not letting the salt be tasted. And you know what? I'm sad about that. Because again, the truth has already been shared that God could do it without you. But guess what? It's his joy to include you. Don't you want to be a part of that joy? Don't you want to be a part of sharing that hope? It's incredible. And again, God is going to accomplish it with or without you, but there is a joy in being included. It was kind of funny. I was thinking about wood this week because we were dropping off wood for people. I'm going to order some more wood for myself. And I was thinking this year, last year was the first year I had to do my wood alone because my kids are working and they ain't got time. I'm like, all those years were wasted. You know, I was feeling sorry for myself this week, right? No. You know what thrilled me? What thrilled me is I got two calls this week, and they were from Tim. And some of you don't know, but Elias is working with Tim. And he said to me, he said, you know what, boy? The boy worked hard today. Boy, he put in a good day's labor. I tell you what, sometimes I forget that he's just a kid, his age. I forget his age. He works so hard anyway. I just wanted to let you know that. And I felt so proud. And guess what? It all goes back to when we started doing wood when he was 3 years old. Was that fun for him? It wasn't fun for me. He was in the way all the time. Oh, he was so slow. Oh, the questions. Like, he's a chatty cat. And he would talk, and he'd say, Dad. And I'd go, oh, just put the wood in the wheelbarrow. What makes the tree so tall? Dad. You see that bird over there? Can we shoot him? like all these things. And I go, this is taking four times as long. But what happened was I have some of the greatest pictures that are cherished gifts today. I have some incredible memories with Ellen and Elias, teaching them to do wood and work hard early on, to teach them how to do a job well the first time so that you don't have to restack it 2 hours after it falls over down in the basement. And all of those lessons were beautiful. It was a joy for me because all of a sudden I hear that he's a hard worker. That Tim over there at Home Hardware would give Ella like a raise and a bonus and saying thank you so much for being here during COVID when some workers were scared to come in. Like you were one of the ones that kept it afloat, Ella. You were one of the ones who stayed faithful. You were one of my hard workers, and I value you so much. Hearing those things, I go, wow. To be included. Now think about this. God the Father doesn't need you to accomplish his will, but he longs to share that joy with you in bringing souls to salvation. The only thing that you could take with you to heaven. And he wants you to be a part of it. And he knows that it's going to probably take longer sometimes when you're involved, and sometimes you're going to be in the way, but it is his joy for you to join him. And so often we're just too busy. Like when Greg and I were dropping off that wood to that man who lives in the middle of nowhere and has nothing, and tears were coming down his eyes, and we were rejoicing with him. When we were driving away, we were crying together saying, "This is crazy. What a joy it is to bring hope." Greg has one guy who works over there. He doesn't come to church yet. I don't know where he is with the Lord yet. We're working on that. But let me tell you, whenever we have to deliver wood, he wants to be there because he's found the joy of ministering. And I'm not even sure if he knows Jesus yet. Wow. And yet, how often do we let fear hold us back when God wants to share that joy? Oh, that you would connect with the community. Oh, that you would be the light. Oh, that you would be the salt. That you would be found sharing the good news and proclaiming that freedom. You know, some people say, "Well, I do, Andrew. I'm coming to church. I come to church." Okay, come into church. You want to know what the design of church is? That you would encourage one another, lift one another up, and be so filled by the stuff that we try to give you and by the blessing of the Holy Spirit coming down and filling you because you have an openness and a willingness, that you would be so full by the end of Sunday or Tuesday night that you would leave and overflow onto your family and friends and community. That's what Sundays are designed for. And yet so many people around the world, they come and their faith starts and ends on Sunday service. When it's over, sells their faith, and I'm going, "Oh, you're doing it wrong." This is the fill-up so that the real work can continue all week long. Oh, that we would get it, that we would follow the example of Jesus. Listen to these verses. This is for you, church. Matthew 28:19-20. Again, you know them very well. "But therefore go and make disciples." Go and make disciples, right? "Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." It's not about coming to church and getting all the attention and being fed and getting so fat that our life is comfortable and everything's cozy. No. We're to go. Acts 1:7-8, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the time and dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses," to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, "to the ends of the earth." That's your calling. "Oh, I'm kind of busy right now, Andrew." Ah! With what? What is more important than eternity? Everybody bow your heads. Whew. This is the question that I ask myself all the time. Some of you have heard it 1,000 times. I'll never stop asking it. I ask myself this every time. If you guys appreciate my preaching, it's because I'm passionate about these things, because I wrestle these things to the ground. If you ever think that I'm angry because I'm yelling, it's not because I'm angry. It's because, God is doing his work within me. I hope that you would get that excited about truth, that you'd get that excited about the Holy Scriptures. But let me ask you this question. I ask myself this all the time. All the time. This is my question to me. I want to share it with you again. How has eternity changed because you've been granted another week on planet Earth? That question humbles me, and I ask it often. I ask it because I'm an evangelist at heart, and some of you may not be wired quite that way. The question is very, very relevant. As we've been talking about these disciplines that will connect you with heaven to teach you how to walk and to talk with God, there is no time better invested. Some of these questions, these are tools. Ask them often. How has eternity changed because you've been granted another week on planet Earth? Because in the end, what are you taking with you? Nothing. They won't even appreciate it. They'll have it squandered within 6 months of your death. You don't believe me? Come and do the next funeral with me. You'll find out. It's amazing to watch. So the only thing that you can take to eternity with you are the souls of those that you've pointed to the way. And if you're too busy for that, then you are doing it wrong. Because it's the only thing that matters.
You are to connect with God Almighty and to connect with one another solely for the purpose of connecting to the lost. That's what Jesus showed us. That's what Jesus did. You are a result of that very passion if you're a believer here today. You're a result of that. You're the fruit of that. How could you not long for more? Oh, that we would connect. And here's the truth. People are interested. Don't you buy the lie of the enemy. People are interested in your faith. Live it loud. You know, occasionally if you have to, use words, but you should be living it loud. You should be the light. You should be the salt. People should be interested in you. And if they're not, then maybe you're doing it wrong. Adjust. Come to the one who teaches still today, who brings freedom still today, who heals and brings dead things to life still today. And you know what? Who can be your one? Jesus took the time to see one. Again, you are a product of that. You are a result of that. Jesus was whispering your name, and finally you stopped long enough to hear. And hopefully, if you're a believer here today, that changed everything. Oh, that you would change what you see. And even in the midst of the crowd, you would have one that you could focus on. Who is your one today? Oh, the one is vital. The one is important. And sometimes you assume you know the plan and you think, oh, I just haven't got time for that. No, God has been on the job even before you were ever brought in. If he's calling you to the harvest, chances are it's just ready to pick. The apple's already ripe. Don't miss the opportunities when God is speaking, when the Holy Spirit is prompting. Oh, that we would listen. We'd be a people of obedience. The harvest awaits. No, that nothing would hold us back. That we'd come against fear again. That would change everything. If the church would let go of the fear they hold, it would change the world. Ah, let go of your fear. You're told. I talked to that with the kids. The kids at junior church last week, I was saying, guys, what do you fear? Let's draw it. We were drawing pictures of what they fear. I was drawing sharks. You know it. Whew, put a picture of a dentist in there, tried to hide it. Dentists are scary, right? You know what the kids were drawing? They were drawing coronavirus. Detailed pictures of this little blue orb. I thought they were drawing the world. I go, are you scared of the world? Oh, I'm not done yet. And then they put these little spiky red things that look like flowers coming out. I said, what is that? That's a coronavirus. I said, I see it now. They were drawing pictures of masks, tired of masks. You know what we did? We crumbled all of those pictures up and we threw them in the garbage. And then we drew a picture of this beautiful sunset on a lake and said, the beauty of God is all around us. The Bible tells us countless times to fear not. Don't fear, guys. Let's live our lives. Church, you are told thousands of times to fear not. Oh, that you would be brave enough to see the beauty of God all around you and to share it and connect with others and to live the life that God has planned for you. Change everything. So let me ask one more time before I pray. How has eternity changed because you've been granted another week? It just keeps me awake. It's asking the right question. Time is short. Make sure your questions are wise. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for this whole series. Like, Lord, you've been connecting. You've been connecting with us. Like, I'm seeing individuals who are ordering student Bibles and new Bibles because they're marking up their old ones. I'm seeing families who are planning times together. I'm seeing people join us online who our numbers are, they've never joined us before, obviously, because the numbers are there. And Father God, I'm thanking you for all of these moments that you are connecting with us. And we are longing to connect with you. And Father God, I love that this church, we connect with one another, and we encourage one another, and we give of our time and our talents and even our finances to try to bless one another and to make this community better. And Lord, all of that is so that we could fill up, and oh, that we would continue to overflow and to seek the lost. Let us not miss our God-given purpose. You have made us plan A. Oh, that we would make you proud, Papa. Whew. Lord, what are we taking with us? Only those that we point to the way. I pray that you make us better pointers. Let us connect, so that we would fill up, so that we could overflow. Help us connect with the lost, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.